Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and on this program, we'll be discussing the current status of Colorado's agritourism during the COVID-19 pandemic. On this Local Motion program, we'll hear from Courtney Frazier, past president and current board member of the Colorado Agritourism Association and executive director of the Colorado Dude and Guest Ranch Association. We'll also hear from Sue Ann Miller from Western Culture Farmstead and Creamery based in Paonia, Colorado, as well as a couple of their visitors. And we'll be following up with Jamie Henderson and Steve Steese from the Storm Cellar Winery in Hotchkiss, Colorado. Up first is Courtney Frazier from the Colorado Agritourism Association and current executive director of the Colorado Dude and Guest Ranch Association. Courtney has been with the Colorado Dude and Guest Ranch Association for 12 years, and I asked her to give us an update on what's going on with Colorado Dude Ranches and agritourism in Colorado during COVID-19.
We have 22 member ranches within the state of Colorado, and they're statewide, so all over the state. And each ranch is unique in and of its own and all individually owned and operated, but just really offer a really unique and fun outdoor vacation for families, couples, singles, just about anybody who wants to be a cowboy for a week would really enjoy it. Even if you're not an avid rider, there are a lot of activities nowadays that appeal to non-riders on the ranch and still get you outdoors. And the Colorado Agritourism Association is kind of a little bit of a higher umbrella. So it includes a lot more in terms of the types of destinations that we have within the state. So everything from a pumpkin patch to a you-pick berry farm to a winery or brewery tour and much, much more. Certainly Dude Ranching falls under that umbrella as a fun agritourism type trip.
Great. And if you could share with me a little bit about what's going on with Colorado Dude Ranches right now, are you seeing an increase or a decrease in visitors and guests?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. So this year is obviously unique for a lot of folks. And so they've had some challenges just getting ready to open for the season and even being able to open. But what we've found is that although there have been cancellations, there certainly have been, you know, I think folks, they may or may not feel comfortable traveling long distances and whatnot, so they might have rescheduled for the following year. We do still have a lot of folks who are traveling. We have a lot of folks who, especially within the driving radius, who have decided to keep their plans for this year. And, you know, we've definitely seen an increase in inquiries and bookings from some of our surrounding drive states, and especially within Colorado in and of itself, which is such a neat opportunity to be able to explore our own backyard, so to speak, a little bit more. So we have seen an increase in interest from our very own Colorado residents as well, which is really neat to see. And we do have the majority of our ranches open. So out of the 22, we have 20 of those ranches are operating, obviously to limited capacity and well within all of the, you know, requirements that the state and the counties have put forward. And most of the ranches go well beyond the required social distancing and safety practices that are being requested by the state and local government. So they really want to make sure that they're doing their part to make it a fun and safe and healthy vacation for the folks who are able to go.
That's great. And it's nice that a lot of these activities are likely outdoors, horseback riding, fishing, those kinds of activities.
You know, cowboys were kind of the original social distancers with, you know, between horseback riding, like you said, and then also wearing bandanas over their face for dust. You know, you see the Wranglers wearing bandanas, you know, again, and kind of bringing back some of the Old West a little bit in terms of the visuals there. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, outdoor recreation in and of itself is just a great way for people to get out a little bit and still enjoy each other's company, but from a safer distance, and also enjoy nature. And there's certainly a demand for that because folks have been kind of pent up in their houses for several months now. And so We're really happy to be able to provide that to the guests who are able to join us.
Yeah, and I bet that they appreciate it just as much as the ranches and business owners do. Let's shift gears a little bit back to the Colorado Agritourism Association. And I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the best way or ways that farmers and producers can promote rural yet exciting areas in general during this pandemic?
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of opportunity there. And I think one of the best things they can do is really work within their community and collaborate within their community. You know, every town and city and county is kind of in a different place. And so I think the first thing you know, I would certainly recommend is make sure you just have a pulse point on what the general feel is of the community. There are some rural communities that are really anxious to have those visitors back, especially those local visitors. You know, that's really what we're talking about right now, just because there's such an opportunity here, you know, to reach out to our fellow Coloradans during this time with travel mm-hmm. being limited. So, you know, just really having a good understanding of what the pulse point is in your own community is a great place to start. And then I think from there, it's collaborating again with others in the community. You know, if you're ready and anxious to have those visitors back, then there's going to be others, you know, in your area that are as well. And so, you know, those partnerships are just really key because it's not only word of mouth, but it's also the opportunity to bring people out to your area for potentially a longer period of time. If there are different activities to do, different restaurants to go to, things like that. There are some resources from a state level, which can be really helpful to our rural partners. If you go to colorado.com, there's some road trip ideas and there's sample itineraries for, you know, 1-, 2-, 3-day itineraries for different parts in the state. And it's absolutely free to participate in. And so for those folks who really want to get engaged and kind of dip their toes into bringing some great folks back into their area, I think that that would be a great resource for you with that road trip itinerary option through colorado.com. You know, again, to be able to bring those visitors out to your area and keep them in that area a little bit longer by offering them a tour to go around, even just within your area, and partnering with those businesses can be just an excellent opportunity to not only increase your own business, but really bring a lot of robust economic activity to your area of the state.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you touched a little bit on the economics here. I'm curious if there might be any financial impacts to Colorado agritourism, and if not this year, possibly in 2021.
Well, as you can imagine, I honestly don't think that there's going to be many industries untouched and, you know, impacted by COVID and by the situation that we have at hand. So, yes, I do think that there will be impacts to that. But I also think that that's another reason to, you know, to partner up to see what your community is doing and to find other ways to creatively advertise, as I mentioned, through Colorado.com. So those might be a few options. But in terms of the economic impact, you know, just through agritourism and dude ranching, you know, certainly numbers are down. And some of it, too, is on purpose. You know, obviously, there are limited capacities and restrictions within the state. So it's not to say that there might be a huge gap in terms of, you know, what we have in terms of capacity left that we're trying to fill. It's just saying that we want to make sure that we're following all of those guidelines. And that does mean reducing capacity for most places, which in turn would impact that bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any significant surprises or highlights over the last several months during this time of COVID?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really unique to our agritourism destinations in Colorado and many other destinations, to be brutally honest, is their resilience. And then also they have just a great foundation in sustainable travel naturally. One of the things that our visitors are really coming to appreciate about these destinations is that these agritourism destinations really care about the land and the land around them and taking care of it so that their visitors can enjoy it and then future generations can enjoy that same area as well. And so it is very common that we hear the testimonials from our visitors about how much they appreciate that sustainable aspect of these businesses and what they're doing to kind of help protect the land around them and care for it. You know, these destinations are just the highlight of Colorado hospitality. So we really, you know, pride ourselves on just having a real welcome home type feeling at all of these destinations. And obviously, everyone is really wanting to do the best they can during this challenging time. And by, you know, local Coloradans supporting these businesses, it really is helping out not only business, but also their communities. And, you know, in the meantime, just giving the folks who have been inside and pent up for a while a great outdoor experience with some of the really unique places in Colorado they may not have seen before.
That was Courtney Frazier, past president and current board member of the Colorado Agritourism Association and executive director for the Colorado Dude and Guest Ranch Association. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and on this program, we're talking about agritourism in Colorado during COVID-19. Next, we'll hear from Sue Ann Miller from Western Culture Farmstead and Creamery. Sue Ann and her husband Dave established Western Culture Farmstead and Creamery in 2015 and became a USDA licensed creamery and goat dairy in 2018. They specialize in artisan goat cheese. Sue Ann and Dave Miller operate on 5.5 acres, and a lot of their business relies on foot traffic and restaurant sales. I asked Sue Ann to describe how agritourism affects their business.
Agritourism is our bread and butter. The foot traffic that the people bring in, and they also take our cheese from the valley to their friends and family, and they share it with other people. And then those people come back and they tell us stories about having our cheese at a dinner party in Denver, and they couldn't wait to get here because they heard the stories of their friends who came and saw this cool thing going on in the small town of Paonia. And so we miss that. And we do miss the people coming and it just being a busy, happy, bustling place. And it's coming back.
When Polish shut everything down, did that affect business for you?
Absolutely. In a couple ways. One, it just cut down on our foot traffic. And like so many of the other small businesses around here, our business just kind of dried up and went away in March and April during everything was shut down. And we also host a program where we have people come to the farm and help us feed our babies. And that's the kids that are born from the moms during February and March. And we have a lot of goat babies that are born that love to interact with people. And that was one of the biggest bummers for me, is that we couldn't invite those people to help us with the babies and to interact with them. It's always a special time, and it's a great community builder to have people come and volunteer with the baby goats. So we were bummed that we didn't get to facilitate that this year.
And you told me earlier you've been able to be open this entire time. So even though your foot traffic has gone down, which is obviously a hit to your business and a hit to our community, because I know that people come out and really bond with these baby goats. What else has been a challenge as far as agritourism?
One of the things that we like to do is we like to introduce people to the goats and to meet the moms that milk and the, you know, to see the whole process and the whole cycle and the life of that drop of milk. And that's always kind of a sad thing when people just can't get here. And that was one of the things with agritourism that just kind of stopped. No one could leave their homes to go frolic about at farms and things. Even though we were open, it wasn't really open because our whole state and county was closed.
Yeah, and so we're doing this interview on June 26, 2020. Have you seen an increase in tourists in the last like several weeks since things have been more opened?
Absolutely. I feel like everything right about the end of May, beginning of June, when we weren't seeing a whole lot of coronavirus in our area, I think that our general local people started feeling that it was safer to come out and interact. We do implement social distancing here on the farm. We encourage hand washing, mask wearing. We have hand sanitizers. We limit it to just one group, but we still invite people to come in and hang out with the goats and tour the farm, look around, see what we have going on, and to check out our facility too.
Have you had to pivot your business model at all for COVID?
I think to some extent, yes. And a lot of our pivoting, because everything seemed to be an unknown, all of our pivoting seemed to be on the fly. And all of our decision making was like, oh no, we have to do this or that. And we did have to delay hiring extra people to come and join our team. I'm so excited that I have a cheese production assistant now, but we had to delay her start because of just being nervous of interacting with the public. And that was pretty much one of our toughest things, is that we didn't have the help, but all the goats that were scheduled to have babies had babies, and all the milk that was scheduled to come kept coming. And so our workload kind of increased because we couldn't bring in the people to help us. But now we're seeing an adjustment in that. And we have people starting and people coming. And so we're feeling a little room to breathe.
Did you apply for any of the funding, like PPP or any kind of government federal funding, when those rounds of funding were being offered?
They're still being offered, and we just got our paperwork submitted, and so we're just waiting to hear back from that. And we're hopeful and optimistic that we will be qualifiers and recipients of that stimulus too.
And were you able to stay open because you were an essential business?
That's correct. All farms were considered essential businesses. And we were open, but there wasn't a whole lot of places for our cheese to go. And so the restaurants and, you know, a lot of the stores, even that would carry our products, had lower foot traffic and they weren't ordering as much. So to combat that, I just made a lot more hard cheese. And it's still aging and it'll be ready to go. The more things open up, the more product that I'll have too.
As restaurants are opening back up, is that business picking back up again for you?
I'm just starting to see it open up a little bit. I haven't noticed it a ton with restaurants, more with markets and other places that have foot traffic, that have deli counters and things like that. As far as restaurants, not really so much just yet, but I'm optimistic for them opening up and being able to have a bigger than 50% capacity.
Do visitors need to make an appointment before they come, and where can our listeners find more information?
No one really needs to sign up to come. We're open to the general public 9 to 5 every day. You can always check out our website at westernculturefarmstead.com to see some of the new things that we have going on and to check out just photos of things on the farm and pictures of Dave and I too.
That was Sue Ann Miller from Western Culture Farmstead and Creamery, located in Paonia, Colorado. You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and on this program, we're talking about agritourism in Colorado during COVID-19. As I left the creamery, I ran into a couple of new North Fork Valley residents who were out and about discovering what the Western Slope has to offer.
Everyone is so passionate about what they do that you know that you're going to get quality products. So we've just been having fun, like going to different areas that specialize in certain things, because you know you're going to get the best of the best from that particular place. And everyone's been super helpful and directing us on where to go. The locals are super friendly here and have been really nice. And it's been fun exploring all the wineries. We didn't realize there would be so many wineries here. So it's been fun going on a little made-up wine tour and getting to try all of the different wineries that are open now. We definitely were waiting for everything to open back up, so we're excited that we can go places now. You know, we had charcuterie today, and the whole charcuterie plate was all from local farms.
Local, yeah.
So, and it was delicious. So it's so different. The food just seems to taste better here.
Yes.
Made with love, I guess. Made with love is what I would say.
Yes. Yeah. And that you can definitely tell. And I was literally having that same conversation with my mom yesterday. I was like, literally, Mom, we need to go to this winery. We need to go here. I have to take you here. Please come visit. And they're big foodies. They love wine. So the fact that I was able to actually share this place with her and get her excited about coming to visit, I can't wait for them to come and take them to all of these wonderful places.
Yeah. And how do you feel safety-wise? Do you feel pretty safe going out and about? Are there any safety concerns?
I personally don't have any. It seems like everybody is taking, you know, they pride themselves in their products. So you know that they're going to do what's best to make sure that you're safe. And so for me, that's comfort.
Especially where we came from, Orange County, it's way more scary there right now with not only the pandemic, but the looting and the riots. So where we came from, so I was in San Diego, formerly owned 2 coffee shops, one in Orange County and one in San Diego. And the looting, the rioting, and the pandemic have really affected business there. And also just the community, it's big cities, there's a lot more clusters of people. So it's definitely like there's more of the virus spread there, where I feel like we're a little bit more protected here because it's mostly our community. I mean, there are some passers through, but it seems like for the most part, everybody tries to maintain their distance and, you know, wear masks if required. So yeah, definitely safer here.
We just heard from Brandy and her partner, Michelle, sharing their excitement about agritourism offerings on the Western Slope. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and we're talking about the current state of agritourism in Colorado during the pandemic. Next, we'll hear from Jamie Henderson and Steve Stees, who own and operate the Storm Cellar Winery in Hotchkiss, Colorado. I talked with Jamie and Steve exactly 1 year ago about agritourism here in Colorado, and obviously with the pandemic, a lot has changed. Here is Jamie Henderson talking about how they've adapted their business model and how they're still able to offer tastings and invite guests up to their winery.
Yeah, we definitely last year had a strong business plan ready, you know, in preparation to be more present here in the Valley. And, you know, last year we focused a lot on marketing to restaurants, which is still a big core of who we market to and where we want to see Colorado wines. But we had planned out, you know, we're going to be home, we're going to break ground on this tasting room, break ground on a larger winery. And honestly, within like 3 days after hearing that we were basically a go for a construction loan, for a credit line, for a refinance, all of these things that would have set us in just in motion to meet those goals, they were taken out from under our feet because of COVID. And thankfully enough, like last year in November, we decided to really focus on having an online sales network, having a platform where we could offer wines to people if they want to buy online. It was not a focus, but we wanted to do it right. And thankfully, we had that safety net already in place. We're like, wow, okay, we didn't know that it would actually be to our benefit to have that online sales platform. And so, you know, when that hit, it was back in like mid-March, and we said, okay, well, all of these wine dinners, you know, were canceled. It was like over 10 of them we had lined up through various platforms, various chef groups. And so we said, okay, well, we're going to be here in the Valley. And we also have our online sales platform. So how do we go from here? So it was definitely a big 180, but in all sincerity, we were so grateful to have that website there, because March and April, you know, there are definitely some downtimes we can talk about, but March and April for our online sales, they were the biggest sales months that we've had, and created new customers from all around the country. So it turned out to be great, and we're going to keep that strong sales platform thriving. But we're also really seeking creative outlets to continue to promote agritourism here and a sense of community with our wines and with the farms that are right around the corner from us.
Talk to me about the 4th of July. We just had a big weekend here in Delta County. I know that many hotels, motels, Airbnbs were all sold out. Camping grounds were all sold out. The Storm Cellar was releasing brand new wines. Talk to me about that experience over this past weekend for the 4th of July, and also some of your concerns going into this weekend and having the public come up to your winery.
Sure. It was nervous for sure. I'm actually going into Denver this upcoming week and meeting my mom, who's 83 years old, and she hasn't, you know, left the house in weeks gearing up for this meeting. And I've been trying to be super careful because, you know, she's high risk. So it was nervous to bring a bunch of people up here. And then it got amplified by the fact that a couple major restaurants here in the North Fork closed because of COVID related issues. So all of a sudden, all the hotels are booked out and nobody has any place to go. Our reservation count starts climbing and climbing and climbing, and we're up to over 60 RSVPs, and we don't really have that much parking and space. So I was out there with the mower, mowing a bunch of extra areas to park cars. We ran over to Grand Junction to Home Depot and bought a bunch of extra picnic tables, just trying to spread people out as best we could. And it looked like it was all going great. And then, of course, halfway through the evening, for the first time here in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we get a total downpour. And so there's all these people standing around, and we're trying to be socially distant while cramming them under a tent, which was hilarious and awkward, but the people were great. I mean, everybody had their masks on. I know that people have issues with that kind of stuff, but people were super respectful up here. Everybody had their masks on. We had our masks on. Everybody was conscientious and very nice and courteous. You can tell that people aren't upset. They're just ready to get out. Yeah.
And also just making sure people felt comfortable to enjoy themselves. And, you know, comfortable meaning like everybody else was wearing a mask, everyone maintained their space. And it was wonderful to have the Forage Sisters there. You know, I was talking with Nicole of Forage Sisters, and she was mentioning, you know, thanks so much for giving us an opportunity to remain relevant. And honestly, relevancy right now is key. For them specifically, they've lost a lot of their main revenue streams, which are weddings. And so even just doing a pop-up where community members, visitors to the North Fork Valley can enjoy what they farm, what they create, and then pair it with our wines that we farm and create. That's powerful. And even if it doesn't necessarily like you know, bring you tons of money income. It's creating relationships and memories. It's a firm foundation. And I think that if you were to back off and not have any type of event, I think it would be to our detriment. We've got to remain relevant. We've got to find a way to, you know, like Steve was saying, a lot of people just wanted to get out of the house. They just want to connect with people. And there is a way, there's a creative way to actually do it. And it's just having conversations, that those brainstorming moments where you're just like, aha, we can make a dinner happen and it can still be fun and it can still be safe.
What's next for the Storm Cellar? What are you going to be rolling out for the rest of this season? And are you thinking about 2021?
Well, amazingly enough, like Jamie said, when COVID first hit, one of the things that we really try and focus on is our online presence. And we have a really engaged social media following. And for the most part, we don't use that as a sales platform. We use that to tell the story. And it was the first time where all of a sudden everybody's at home and we're at home and our revenue stream, which is Denver restaurants, has been pulled out from under us. And so we looked at each other and we're like, let's call them out. And we haven't ever done this before. And they rose to the challenge. And our social media family showed up and sold us out of tons of wine. So we've backed off of sales for the next, you know, for the past month because we haven't had as many wines to sell. But we just bottled 5 new wines this last week, and we have 6 new wines other than that primed to be bottled over the next month. So 11 different wines being released this summer, all whites and rosés, and all sorts of different styles from lean and aromatic to rich and oaky. So our next move is to get these wines back into the right people's hands and start getting people talking about the new vintage, getting whatever version of a restaurant it is pushing another local product. It's getting the liquor stores amped up about our wines. I mean, if this time has told us anything, it's now's the time to support local products.
Yeah, definitely echo on that. Just now is the time to support local. But as far as like agritourism, you know, connecting back to what we want to do with our community, and even like people from the Front Range, even people from Junction, all around the state, when we had our wine release party and we had food available and we offered tastes, people from the Front Range drove over. We had people camping out in front of our house. People wanted to be part of a vineyard and winery situation where they could talk to a local chef and talk about where the food comes from. People are dying for that connection. And so for us, that wine release party was just one more reason to say, how can, like I said a moment ago, how can we creatively continue having these events? So for like 2021, we're going to continue our online sales. That's another form of family. It's another form of community. And you never know where those connections will take you. Those relationships, you know, might bring people out here. And our valley needs that. The farmers, all of us together, chefs, you know, vineyard owners, winemakers. It's powerful when we come together and we can collaborate. And not only is it powerful, it's just fun. Next year, we do want to hopefully, you know, if all goes well, break ground on a little larger winery. We're sitting in a very tight space right now. Our winery is at max capacity. And so we are going to continue to expand our production because we're not going to die. Our business plan is to move forward. We're passionate about what we do. And it all starts with having a glass of wine over a table with family, with friends. And so we want to find ways to continue to maybe even collaborate with other, you know, farmers and winemakers to do some type of a tour where people can remain socially distant, where they can go and visit, you know, a flower farm, you know, a goat farm, and then just tie in the magic that this valley has. We have to keep that at our mind's forefront. So we're looking forward to 2021. It might be a little different than 2019, 2020, but it's actually exciting. I think that when you have that challenge, that's when the creative juices actually flow like crazy. You might have a time that you just cry on the floor, but then you pick yourself up and you've got this brainstorm of just ideas of like, we have to make this work. How can we do it?
Yeah. Sure. I'll add on to that too. Even before COVID started. So the region we're in here is called the West Elks AVA. There are 12 wineries here in the region. And we have meetings, but our meetings tend to be over the winter months because during the summer, obviously, nobody has time to do that. So we were during the winter, one of our focuses of the West Elks meetings was talking about branding, collective branding. What is it about this region that we want to talk about? And everybody took home little pamphlets and filled out these things, and we brought them back to the meetings and really trying to get phrases and ideas about what this valley is. How is it enticing? And one of the things that came up over and over is that, you know, it's a place that's quiet. It's a place place that's off the beaten path, this hidden gem kind of feel to it. And now more than ever, it seems like that's the perfect place for locals to want to go. Everybody's scared of getting on a plane. Everybody's a little strapped for cash and can't afford that extravagant vacation that they might have had planned 6 months ago. So now's the time to pack up your car and go for a drive and explore the state that you live in. So we have to bring people from the Front Range here. It's just what it is. It's a tourist town, but we can do it safely, and it's a small enough town that it's never going to get bombed. There's not 1,000 hotel rooms around here for rent. There's only so many people that can come visit this valley at one particular time, and we feel confident that amongst the 12 wineries and the other things going on around here, that we can give a very personal yet totally safe, distant vacation for the people here in Colorado, which is just what they're looking for right now.
What's the best way to sign up for a tasting? What are your hours this summer?
We are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 7, and we have partnered with Brant Bishop of Bishop Quality Goods. He has made these amazing locally sourced charcuterie and meat, cheese, nuts, fruit boards to enjoy with our wine, and hummus and pita. So, you know, give us a call if you have a larger group. We'd love to make sure that we can specifically accommodate you, but, you know, between those days and hours, we're going to be here. You can reach us on our website, stormcellarwine.com. We keep our website updated with events, with any tastings, dinners, collaborations. And you can always call us directly at 970-589-3142. And, you know, like I said earlier, we're a wine trail of 12 wineries, and you can visit the West Elks AVA site. It's westelksava.com. You know, Jim Bratt keeps it pretty up to date of what's happening among all 12 wineries. And so you can literally plan out a wine trail weekend directly from that website specifically.
That was Jamie Henderson and Steve Steese from the Storm Cellar Winery in Hotchkiss, Colorado. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Visit kvnf.org for more original Local Motion programs and for direct links for the businesses and resources mentioned in this program. Thanks for listening.